everyone. Hello and welcome. This is Soul Sister Radio with Susan and Paula. Welcome to our show. We hope you're here with, you know, the intention of calling in spirit or, you know, trying to connect to spirit, bring in your cup of tea, your glass of wine, whatever it is, because this is what we're talking about, you know, our path to spirit. So welcome. And I want to say hello to Paula. Are you here?
Hello, Susan. I'm here. So great to be here with you and everyone who may be listening now or may listen in the future. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Exactly. Thank you for joining us and for, you know, just being here and being a soul sister, because this is what this show is about. You know, it's a community of women, men, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's like the vibe of we're all in this together. And I'm bringing this sort of, I don't know why, I'm just like feeling this is what's coming in right now. So this is sort of the vibe of my week. And Paula, I want to ask you, right off the bat, though, how was your week? How was your weekend? What have you been feeling since the last time we talked here on the air? How are things going for you?
The last time we talked on the air, which was only a week ago, feels like a month ago, actually. So I think many wonderful things have gone on. I think that I was really happy to participate in the Mercury retrograde show because some things happened actually over the weekend that I looked at a little bit differently had I not partaken in that show and learned some of the things that we were talking about. In fact, I was at a function, a work function on Friday night with a colleague. And Susan, I know this is probably going to give you the truth chills. And give me one sec because something is playing here in the background causing a bit of feedback. So there, I've just stopped it. We were at this industry event on the Friday night, all dressed up. It was an award show for the industry that I work in. And the theme was Oscar event. So you remember how you said last week when we were talking in Mercury retrograde, not to wear jewelry during this time because people were losing jewelry. So one of the women that was sitting at the table got up to leave the table, and a tennis bracelet that was on her wrist just slipped right off her wrist and luckily fell on the table. And she said, "Oh, my gosh, I'm so happy that, you know, that it fell there. If it had fallen off, like her parents gave it to her." And she went to go put it back on her arm. And then I remembered you saying, you know, just don't wear your jewelry. Put it away. And I just said to her, I said, "Honey, just put that in your purse." It was dark, fairly dark in the room, in the hall. And I just said, you know, you can't really see in here. You don't know if you're doing it up correctly or something's wrong with the class. And it just fell off. So tuck it in your purse and, you know, take it out at home and figure out what happened with it at home. I'd hate to see it come off your wrist again. I didn't get into all the Mercury stuff because, you know, that's not an easy conversation to have with people sometimes around energy and the planets. But that was certainly one instance where I thought about our show and was really thankful that I had some of that information. I could pass it on.
Oh, that is great. I mean, not that it's great that she, you know, lost her bracelet, but that you recognized it or saw it and went, maybe this is something, you know, to do with the energy that is, like, in the air right now. And, you know, the planets are moving and, you know, affecting us in big and different ways. So that's great. I mean, I say that's great. I'm just glad she recovered it, you know, put it in her purse, and you did everything that I would have done. So that's awesome. Oh, it's
and
been,
how's your week been?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's been a heavy week. You know, I had a quiet weekend. It was Memorial Day weekend in the States for me. And I know you're in Canada, and you had yours a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so this weekend, you know, my husband and I found, you know, that we were home alone, and we have grown daughters. I have a 24-year-old, I have a 19-year-old, and they had other plans, and that's fine. You know, they're adults, and So my husband Mike and I are just kind of looking at each other and like, okay, so what are we going to do? And it was, I felt instinctively, I was hearing in my body, it's like, you know, me. So I'm hearing just go, you need to go away. And I didn't know what that meant, but I needed to go away. So to me, I wasn't going to travel, but I needed to go away. So I shut off my media. I shut off my phone, my cell phone. I mean, you know, except for emergencies. But I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't really responding to messages like as quickly as I could have or would have normally. And I had to take like 48 hours to just unplug. And I didn't know why. I just knew it was part of the week, part of the retrograde, you know, whatever. But I knew it affects me that way. So I just did. And, you know, we made our plants. We made our garden. We got dirt and we, you know, went to the beach. And so I was connected to nature and my animals and my pets because they needed me. And I was just so unplugged for Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, Monday I kind of in the afternoon got back, you know, connected. And it was very nice because I was a different person. Like my body felt different. And I liked that. I appreciated it. So, and that was great. And, you know, and today, and I know you know because we talked earlier, you know, there's a heaviness in my community. We lost my daughter, my youngest daughter, one of her very good friends, and just a beautiful soul who I connected with on a totally soul level. I totally trusted my daughter's life in his hands. We lost just a bright soul. He was 19 years old. His name was Trey, and that's heavy on my heart today. Although I can see and feel purpose, and you know, I can see a bigger why, and I can lean into that. So that's where I am today. I'm really just leaning into possibility, love, and hope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just processing it still, really, right?
Yeah, and you know, exactly. And it's raw, and I'm looking at my daughter's, you know, 19-year-old soul level and where she is, and you know, that's kind of where my community is tonight. But anyway,
you know,
so
actually, Susan,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I think that it again, you know, our theme tonight is path to spirit, but everything's connected to spirit. And you talking about this young soul that's departed and leaning into trying to decipher why and, you know, understand the purpose of his life and also his death. I mean, that's all connected to spirit, right? And you're
absolutely
so lucky to have that connection to be able to lean into it, even though you're feeling pain and heaviness about the event. There's always that rope of hope that will pull you through.
Yes, thank you for that. I love that rope of hope. That is so, you know, that's very meaningful to me tonight, especially because I know I'm feeling and I see and I'm witnessing a young community of 19 and 20-year-olds and 15 to 21, really, who this young, beautiful soul affected. And that's what it is, a rope of hope. And there is. And so, you know, here it is. You know, we're coming off of Memorial Day weekend, and we're still in Mercury retrograde, and we're talking about our path to spirit. So I would love to, I'm sort of shuffling my cards right now. I've been doing this since, I don't know, we started, and I just felt like, okay, I need to shuffle because I'm feeling a lot right now, and I just want to honor everybody's time, where we are and what we're doing, and, you know, just kind of tune in. And I want to you know, I'm just asking our guides, our highest team, God, whatever your path to spirit is, Source, Archangels, highest team. Okay, so those are the words that are coming to me right now that I'm going to ask to draw a card for the collective. And that means you and me, anybody who's listening live right now, and anybody who is going to find us on the archives. So we're talking tonight about our path, our path to spirit and what got us here and all of those things. And I want to pull a card right now that will speak to the collective. And I'm going to, when they say, okay, right now. And let's see. Ooh. It's called Compass. And this has meaning for me. Meaning for me. And I'm going to, okay. As long as you orient your compass to true north, the direction of your highest power, you will never be lost. It was in the reversed position, which is just, there's upright and there's reverse. So what is your highest power right now? Whatever you constantly focus on long enough becomes your highest power. If you worry about financial insecurity, materialism is your idol. If you obsess over a relationship, that is your God. If you're concerned about your weight or looks or your status, you've lost your personal power and your way. Nothing but spirit can be your guiding force. You'll never truly find what you seek if these worries and distractions are your constant focus. Surrender and shift your compass. Be still and watch the needle points to true north. As the needle points to true north, align yourself and you'll easily find your way back to wherever you're meant to be. Well, compass is a big word for me. I believe that we all have an internal guidance, system and GPS and the whole thing. And when it's presented to me this way, I understand it that sometimes, and specifically and especially right now, we may be asked to be, let's step back and just take an inventory. So that's kind of the word that's showing up right now is inventory. So, perhaps listeners or ourselves can start there. It's like inventory. And this is our path to spirit. So, Paula, I'm going to let you...
If you are tuning in tonight, this is also part of your path to spirit. If you have somehow, some way found us and we're talking about the path to spirit, this is exactly one of those stones or one of those steps or what I like to call one of the crumbs that will sort of lead you closer and closer and closer to being connected to the divine or spirit or whatever it is that you call. It's very interesting to me. I was listening to what you said and I want to just go back to the fact that Susan is an intuitive coach. She very much resonates, and her truth and her thinking comes from the body. She feels things intuitively in the body. And I am sort of more cognitive-based and do a lot of thinking Not that you don't think, Susan, but I definitely would say that the experience that I had when I was young caused me to disconnect from the body, to not feel things, because I am an empath, I am very sensitive, and I think in many ways I was shut down and have learned to process everything cognitively. And, I mean, both of them should work in partnership, right? It shouldn't be one or the other, but I really feel that you often sort of give me the piece that I really feel is sort of missing in me. And this is really weird, Susan. Today, for some reason, I found a post on Facebook. I can't even remember the name of the post, but the link led me to this this woman called Eve Ensler, and she did something, a blog or something, on how or I think she wrote a book on how trauma makes us leave our bodies and disconnect from ourselves. So I think it's so cool you're talking about, you get this card called Compass, which is talking about let spirit be your guiding force, align yourself, find your way back to self, you know, to be connected with spirit. But for many of us who are disconnected from our bodies, we are disconnected from our intuition that would lead us there. And so often we don't even know where to start, or I certainly didn't. My intuition was so cut off. And even if I was connected to my intuition at the time, I wouldn't have trusted it because I was so mistrusting of everything, right? I found the path to spirit in a very different way. I absolutely agree with everything that's in that card, and I think it's so cool, again, that I found this book today. I haven't read it. I'm not endorsing it, but, I mean, it resonated enough with me when I was flipping through Facebook, Susan, to click on a link and come to it and keep it saved for the whole day. Like, I haven't even read the page, but when you were reading that card, it made me think of this and made me want to go back to this thing that I saw earlier today. How cool is that?
That is so cool. That's how spirit works. We're stitching. We're just part of a pattern. You know, if we can look at the world and our lives as a pattern, it's like, okay, this is my stitch. You know, it could be gone in a blink. It could be a blink as far as the other side is concerned. But to us, a stitch could be 85 years, right? I'm here.
Yeah.
And this is my stitch. And what you just said, just to me, it resonated that way.
I think for me, I keep getting the message about coming back into the body. And we have a mutual friend, Michael J. Chase, who I worked with in late 2013, early 2014. And I remembered when I used to sort of get stressed and start to get anxious about whatever it was I wanted to accomplish or do or produce in the world, he would have a way of bringing me back down into the body, back down into my heart. And it would be like flipping a switch. It really would be. And, you know, literally he would say things like, there we are. You know, there we are. We're back in the body. And I think there are many people like me who scramble to get out of the body. The way that I did it was to come up into the head. People do it in all kinds of ways. In all, you know, addictions, compulsions, to be distracted from the sensations of the body, really not listening to the body. And I think it's one of the reasons that I've found you, right? That you give me a perspective that I'm just not going to have on my own.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that because I agree. It's like we are, you know, we're doctrined. And I mean, that's not a word I use lightly or use a lot. But, you know, from when we're born, we're like, here's this human, you know, what are we going to do with it? Okay, put it in the system. And we're not encouraged to really live intuitively or, you know, have time alone or decide or look at, you know, look at the menu. When I say menu, it's like, we go to restaurants, we look at the menu. Well, what's an infant going to do? Where's my menu? Oh, I have my parents. I have this and that. I'm just in the system. But there is a menu. And so I think it's returning to spirit that a lot of people might want to wonder or consider or say, where am I? Where am I in my path? It's we're either on a path that feels right to us, keep going. If it really kind of doesn't, well, just kind of go, where am I? What, you know?
Well, one thing I know for sure, Susan, is no matter where you are, I mean, I sort of feel like where you are is never wrong. Where you are is just where you are. If you're off path or off, if you're not happy, let's say, you're off path. Because really, you came to this earth to develop your skills and share that with the world, serving the world. And you had a plan. There was a plan before you got here, and you have a whole team that's trying to help you get back on side with that if you're offside. And what I love about it is if you are in a life of pain, it's really just because you're not where or you're not doing what it is you're supposed to be doing. And that's just a natural reaction to you sort of not being where you're really alive, really in your passion, really in your spirit. And I want to say, Susan, like, I know we're going to jump all over the place here because I can feel us being tugged. I really thought you and I would come on this show today and we would share our own experiences of how, where we were and how we got connected to spirit. And for some reason, every conversation I keep having with you and many other people has to do with indoctrination. I mean, you sort of touched on it briefly.
Yes.
I had a conversation earlier with someone about, you know, we're entering into a new era where people don't necessarily need to be accredited to be experts. There is something called experiential experts or experiential learning. The natives had it. They didn't have any degrees.
Right.
There weren't any paperwork certifying that they had taken this course and knew this and that. They worked with the professional, the person that knew, had the information, and it was passed along. And I've been talking to people this week, many people who, again, nothing exists in a vacuum. It's a whole system, talking about the educational system being over 100 years old. And really, what do kids learn? They're in school for 13 years. They graduate. They can't balance a checkbook. They can't make a meal. They can't fix a car. They can't negotiate for what they want. They can't resolve conflicts. It to me, I'm not knocking teachers. I have an elementary teaching degree. But somehow, you know, the system initially was set up to educate workers, to create people who could work in factories and on assembly lines, who could read and write and follow instruction, regurgitate information that had been given to them. And that is the ideology that we've been following in many, many paths. Medicine, food production, any industry, take a look at it. And the vast majority of information that is there was either, if not fully created, certainly passed down from someone else. And I don't know if it was you, Susan. No, I don't think it was you. I had a conversation about a documentary called Blackfish. And it has to do with and it was just this week I had this conversation. It had to do with Marineland and their stealing of orcas, of killer whales from the ocean, and then putting them in their shows. And all of the people that worked with the orcas were not trained biologists. They hadn't worked with whales. They were hired completely with no knowledge and trained by Marineland. And then those people would tell all the people that came in to watch the orcas about orcas. And all that information that they'd been given was, in fact, absolutely false, totally incorrect. And all of that information just supported them keeping these orcas in captivity and made people feel good about coming to see them in captivity. But all of it was a complete lie. And I think,
right,
you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't spend my days dreaming up conspiracy theory. But I think that getting connected to spirit, getting connected to our bodies, helps many of us really resonate with what's truthful, what's just and fair, and what's not. And we start looking for other answers. We start analyzing and doing a little bit deeper thinking about some of the rhetoric that we've been fed, the propaganda we've been fed, the systematic sort of modeling and constructing of our society, a society whose ideologies have us on, all of us, on the brink of extinction. I know that's it's huge, it's weighty, but like I say, Susan, nothing exists in a vacuum, everything is connected, and I think more and more people, as they get connected to spirit, get connected to themselves, you know, we're starting to wake up and ask deep, deep questions. I still, though, Susan, would love to talk about how I got from there to here and have you do the same, because I think that's what really helps people. We can talk about, you know, talking about what it means once you're here is one thing, but how does everyone who's listening get there? But you know what I'm saying, eh, Susan?
I do. I absolutely do. You know, and I love that. I love the phrase that you say, you know, nothing's in a vacuum. It's not. We are experiential. And everybody, you know, I feel, from what I'm witnessing, when I do my sessions and I'm talking to people, and I mean, I had an incredible intuitive session today. And I'm like, you know, somebody, you know, I had two people, you know, souls who are passed on, come through and deliver incredible messages, and I still feel like, me? Really? But, you know, this is what...
You mean like me really, here. I'm the messenger of this? Is that what you meant?
Yes,
when
me.
When you said me,
like me.
Me really, what did
Susan.
You mean?
I meant me, Susan, I'm the messenger, yes.
Like, can you believe
you know,
that I'm doing this? Is that what you meant, sort of?
That's what I meant, because as you know, because not many people know, but you know, and maybe two or three other people know, is, you know, what we just went through. We just went through a big awakening of, you know, a different type of learning, and, you know, we kind of expanded our, you know, our field, really, is what it is. We're either in our own field or we're blocking it. And that's what I feel. And when I talk to people, when I have my clients, I can say, I can distinguish where, okay, what are we doing here? Are you blocking what you know or what you are? Or what are we doing? And I can feel that. And for me, that was me. I was blocking a lot for a long time until you and I, you know, took an extra class and did different things. But so,
you know what, Susan, this is so cool. I just got something. It was kind of an aha moment for me, which is really weird. Okay, so this, I'm going to backtrack and give you an example. When I used to teach Sunday school, which I did for like 10 years in the Catholic Church, and I'd take the little ones into the community center and teach them what the priest was teaching the adults, but at the child level. And you get a big book, just like you would have a teacher's curriculum that teaches you what, you know, what the particular gospel is, what it's about, things you can do to make the children understand. And I seriously, after about 3 years of teaching Sunday school, I was frustrated because I literally looked at the curriculum and I was like, oh my God, every message is the same. This is ridiculous. I can't think of anything new. And then I realized, it was like I went, oh my God, every message is the same. Every single message, every single week, it's about love and serve, love and serve, love and serve. Now, 1 week it might be about loaves of bread. The next week it might be about, you know, a stranger, like whatever. There were different stories, but the message was always love and serve. And I just kind of had like a little epiphany, which I guess is Spirit's way of bringing us around to this. This is so good. It's so simple, Susan. I don't know why I didn't tie these strings together before. But I think I'm talking about indoctrination. You're talking about blocking. And we're talking together about Spirit. And here's the deal. If you are connected to Spirit, the indoctrination doesn't work. And I know people have said this in different ways over the years, but I'm going to tie it together here in my own way. What you and I, me and Susan, have just experienced and some of the courses that we've been taking and the training we've been going through, which is opening us up more and more and more to Spirit, is putting us on the side with the people who are empaths, channelers, and psychics. I just had a weird physical thing happen. I'll tell you it later. But, and, you know, most of us resist that. We, in fact, block it because we don't want to be seen as the weirdos, the outcasts, the freaks, the people, the people that other people laugh at and snigger at behind their back for, you know, talking about these things. I had a lengthy conversation with a woman on Friday who doesn't believe in any of it, doesn't experience any of it, and wanted, you know, had many, many questions for me. And so, again, I'm going to come back to this linking. I think, you know, and I blocked it for many, many years. And I absolutely said, oh, I don't want people thinking I'm crazy. But here's the deal. If you block it, you block Spirit. Because that is, you know, that is how Spirit communicates with us, with all of us. And until you get aware of that, and until you allow it, so you say, yes, I will allow it, and I'll start developing it, and I'll start looking for signs and information and communication from Spirit, then you're never going to be connected to Spirit. And there's a whole bunch of ways you can do it, but until you are aware of it, realize that it is in fact real, and allow it, and start trying to develop it, then you're always going to be blocked from it. And when I talk about spirit, you know, Susan, that I, you know, my son and I call us Jesus junkies. We are in love with Jesus Christ. When I met my husband, I was 33 years old. He had said to me that, he was younger than me, 6 years younger at the time. And he said to me, oh, but three is my favorite number. It's the number I had on my jersey. You know, we had all these three coincidences. Three people in his immediate family had the same birthday as three people in mine. So as my husband and I went along in our lives, the numbers 3 and 33 became very prominent to us. When we saw the numbers 3 and 33, we knew that something special was going to happen. It was going to be a good day, or it was meant to be, or we should go to that room. You know, my husband, my son, and I, which are three, we would go out for Valentine's, and guess what? We'd get the bill at the end, and we'd be sitting at table 3, served by server 33. I kid you not. I even kept that receipt because of that. So, and it was not that long ago, I'll say within the last year, that I was researching something on Jesus. And again, maybe I knew this, but I never put it together. I found out that he was 33 years old when he was crucified, and he had practiced his ministry for 3 years. I almost started crying. Mm-hmm. I feel like crying now when I think about it.
Well, you're right, because it's not true. It's truth. It is truth to you, and this is between you and Jesus. This is most likely, and which I feel, because we've talked, this is a soul contract, and it's not a coincidence. There's meaning in numbers, there's meaning in when, and all kinds of things. It's just, this is why and how I feel you are writing your books and bringing your life to the table and sharing what you know. This is what this radio show is about. It's right. So, right.
You know what? I think I'm still sort of sitting here reveling in this idea of the indoctrination of us as sort of being apparent, religion will talk about us being spirits, but if not, you can't be connected to spirit, right? Spirit's not connected to you. You have to come via another conduit, a priest or a rabbi or someone else. They're
exactly.
The only one connected to spirit, right? But the truth is, that's what keeps us separate from spirit. We all have access to spirit, and spirit's trying to access us all the time. But we've been made so afraid of it. In fact, you and I both know, because we were at a course with, a well-known medium, John Holland's his name, and there was a man there who was from one of the southern states, and he said, where I'm from, they consider this kind of work, what did he say, Susan? Satan work?
I remember him. Well,
yes.
Yes, basically, yes.
Something like that. Well, that scares most of us away from exploring this. I can tell you, Susan, growing up in the Catholic faith and having a firm belief of Satan for most of my life, up into my adult life, I was petrified of demons and Satan, any show to do with that. Didn't like being in the dark. I was sure that something was going to jump out at me. And it's only after becoming connected to spirit in the way that I now am that I know how protected I am, that I know how safe I really am, that I no longer fear any of that. And again, fear is a great controller, right, Susan? So, individuals are waking up, they are connecting to spirit through all different kinds of ways, and they're shaking off that indoctrination. And once you're connected to spirit, you start to get the messages, you start to get the signs, you start to get the information, you start to get the knowledge to be able to get on the right path. And I had a very interesting conversation with a gentleman today where it was all about, and he certainly considered himself to be a religious person, grew up in the Catholic faith, was educated by nuns, and he absolutely had a sort of an eye for an eye kind of philosophy, and that evil people deserve to be destroyed and never to be forgiven, and that we as humans were the judge of that. And we had quite a heated conversation because, you know that for me, it all boils down to the choice. I look at the life of Jesus, and if it doesn't ring true with what he said or did, then it isn't truth to me. And I don't care if a priest is saying it. You know, I look at the life of Jesus, and to me, he came here to show us how to live and die. He didn't say, kill your neighbor, kill your enemy if they try to take things away from you, if they don't believe the things that you believe, or if they're trying to kill you, then it is okay for you to kill them. In fact, you know, he told his disciples to lay down their sword. And he took death. I know that that is going to ring false with many people because they'll say, Jesus died for our sins. But what is a sin is a whole other conversation.
And, you know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I love hearing your truth. I love experiencing and feeling everything that you have learned and you integrated into your soul, into your life, to your family's life. Like I'm like going, yes, you know, I get this. And I may not have experienced that way, but I love and appreciate that you have. And it makes me like as a soul, I'm this observer because that's me. I'm observing, you know, I've looked into a ton. I looked into the way I was raised. You know, I was raised by Catholics, quote unquote. I got through my first communion, quote unquote. I did not make my confirmation, quote unquote. You know, I was raised by quasi Catholics. So, to me, quasi Catholics. It's like, okay, this is the fourth daughter. You know, that's me. You know, I happen to be, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm the intuitive one, and I know what I know, but I was okay with it. Like, nothing hurt my feelings. I was observing and going, I love this. Is this a play? What can I play? What part can I do? And I never connected with the message in the way that you did. Neither is right or wrong. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm just supposed to be me. You're supposed to be you. You know, and this is what I feel is like all of us are like, please, I want to hear from Judaism. I want to hear from Buddha. I want to hear from everybody who grew up in a way that touched their soul in the beginning and what it means now. Like, where are you with this? What? It's perfectly okay to take this to the ends of your life, the ends of the earth, to pass this down. It's like, please do. Pass down what you know, what you feel, what you believe, whatever's passionate about you. And that's it. As long as we love and respect everybody else's, you know, beliefs and stuff. So,
well, this conversation, yeah. I mean, this conversation I had today, again, it was all over the place because, again, everything is interconnected. So even as you were talking, I was making notes of the things that what you were saying was reminding me of. And it reminded me of A Course in Miracles. So there are these books called A Course in Miracles. Apparently, nobody knows who wrote them. They were written anonymously. Somebody found them. Marianne Williamson. Is it Marianne Williamson or Marianne Williams? I think it's Marianne Williamson. She made them probably the most famous, but she's not the only one who teaches courses in them. But she's been on the Oprah Show, et cetera. So she taught a course, something, I think she wrote a book called Return to Love, and it talks around A Course in Miracles. And Wayne Dyer and many, many spiritual gurus talk about the tenets of this Course in Miracles. And one of the basic tenets, or maybe the only basic tenet, is what is love is not fear, and what is fear is not love. There's only two things, fear and love. And what is love is not fear, and what is fear is not love. And what you can sort of do with language is everything can be mapped out on either side of that line. It either falls on the fear side or it either falls on the love side. Everything, every action, every emotion, every word, every thought. And it parallels art. It parallels literature. It parallels music. So if it's fear, it's dark, and if it's love, it's light. So to me, this is my philosophy, Susan. This is what I'm saying I believe in, is that we are here on this planet to choose. That's what we're here to do, to choose light or darkness, fear or love.
Right.
That's the choice.
Right.
And this arena that we play in, it's not easy. It's confusing. We are distracted. Our thinking is distorted. You know, the world is upside down. What the world values is upside down to what spirit values, what values Christ talked about when he was here. And it's not easy to stay on course. It's not easy to stay on track because, you know, many things that happen here, they're confusing. They're not fair. They're not right. They're not just. They're not kind. You know, we as humans can be reeling from fear and pain and envy and all of those darker emotions. But again, I love to talk about this language. And when you start seeing your life, all of your life, as a choice between the light and the dark, you start recognizing that you get to choose your thoughts, and then therefore you choose your emotional reactions because your thoughts cause them, and you choose your behaviors. That doesn't mean that it's easy. It's not easy because if someone hurts you or someone you love, then often our choice is to hurt them back. But that sends us in the direction of darkness. And again,
right,
if you want to be lighter, if you want to be connected to spirit, if you want to, you know, ascend, which is what most religions talk about, you have to turn to the light. And you have to make the choices that make you lighter in this life. You have to turn to the choices that don't weigh you down with material things, don't weigh you down with heavy, base, or darker emotions. It's not easy, and it's a practice. It's like working out. You can't work out and, you know, look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and then stop working out and think you're going to still look like him. It's a practice you have to do every day. You know, that's why people meditate. That's why people go to church and they pray. And, you know, before we go on, I want to say I'm not knocking the Catholic religion. In fact, maybe the Catholic religion and all religions, Susan, needed this power hierarchy for it to survive, to have come through humanity. Because anything without power in the years that humanity has have existed has been destroyed. Maybe we are actually embarking on the beginning of where things don't have to be protected through a power hierarchy, where we are coming into an arena where we all see the value of communion and sharing and not competition, but helping each other. And therefore, things don't have to be protected by force anymore.
And I don't feel there, I agree. And I don't feel we need religious tribes. I don't think we need titles or corners or I'm right and you're wrong. I don't think there's right or wrong. I think it's experiential. Like, all paths lead home. Like, if somebody believes all paths will lead home, I could take 50 ways to get to my house from work. Well, I work from my house, but if I did, if I worked outside of my house, I could pick 50 ways to get home. I'm going to get home. I'm going to choose my path. None of it is right or wrong. It depends what scenery you want. That's how I feel. And I just feel like, you know, spirituality like is not black and white. It's not science. You're never going to prove it. You're never going to prove what you know or what you feel from the unseen world, ever. That is not on the table to be proven. That's why we don't know. We're here to experience and evolve. And if somebody's path takes you, you know, around that corner and I need to go through here, I need to experience this, my life is going to be a little bit different than yours, neither is right or wrong. It's like, great, I hope this serves you, because when we're all in heaven, all on the other side, I want to celebrate. And it's like, okay, what are we doing? Are we coming back? You know, what's going on? I have this in my work, and when I'm talking to people, I'm having sessions, I'm going, can we just leave the humans alone? And I really want to connect with a soul level, like my soul, to somebody else's soul, and say, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm feeling. This stuff has to go, because that is called judgment. And I just don't, you know, whatever we call our creator, I don't care if it's a Buddha, God, Source, Mother God, Mother Earth, whatever, the wind. I don't care where anybody feels they came from. It's the same place. So what? Our language is different. If I live in the United States, which I do, I might, you know, another person might live in India. We're going to have a different word from where we came from. That's okay. It's the same place. And I think this up-leveling of, my gosh, if you're human and I'm human, we're on the same team. I just don't get the whole separation stuff, because I don't feel it and I don't live it. So it's just not in my work and it's not in my experience. It never has been. So I've always been confused by that. I've always been judged. I've always been on the other end of human stuff, but I've never, that I've intentionally tried to do was put my human stuff on somebody else, because I just see their soul. That's just what I do. And that's the little tweak that I feel humans need to go, what is it that I'm really trying to do? I'm here for what, 75 years? Well, 30 if I'm lucky, 55 maybe. I don't know. I could die next week. I don't know. I'm experiencing a loss in my community of a 20-year-old. You know, it's very sad. I don't know. But I want, you know, my goal, and I think the human goal is to just be, you know, the best that you can in the way you're equipped. And I think we all show up with different equipment. And that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm seeing. It's like, my equipment is different than yours. So what? So what? I mean, who's judging? I don't want a human to judge me. I care about God, and I care about my source and where I come from. And
I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. I just come at it, I agree with it, but I've had a different experience. I've come up through a different experience. So I've come up through a lot of conflict and a lot of fear. So I absolutely do understand how people can feel separated, and how people don't see others as souls, how they see them as a physical body who could hurt them in this life. And with that fear comes separation, and also maybe, you know, attack, right? Because we're all trying, you know, really, I think we're all trying to be happy and safe, and we just don't know how to do it. We're doing the wrong things to do it. I think that's our goal. Part of my resisting a spirit for a long time, too, was this idea, this backwards idea, that if I got more connected to God, when I call spirit God, if I got more connected to God, then I would have to do what he wanted, not what I wanted. I did not realize it's all about what I want. I had just forgotten what I wanted. In fact, I was struggling against what I wanted. You know, now...
Exactly.
You know, now I want to be more and more and more and more connected to God and Spirit, so I can feel freer and lighter and happier and feel safer. Right? That's another deeper conversation, because our life here is so temporary and our association to everything here is so strong, right? But we don't take any of it with us. I'm reading a book. I got it at a book sale for $3 called And It All Goes Back in the Box. And I can't remember the name of the author. And I just began the book and I love it, because he uses this analogy of playing Monopoly with his grandmother, and all he wanted to do was win. And his grandmother was like an ace at it. And, you know, he'd play with her every week, and she'd beat him. And on the one day that he beat her. Like, he wanted the heavens to part and angels to sing, and he wanted to leave the board up, and he wanted to put it in the paper and announce to everyone that he had won and everything on the board was his. And she says, well, now it all goes back in the box.
And I love that.
That happens to us. You know, that's exactly
right.
What happens to us. With everything that we collect on this board of life, all goes back mm-hmm. in the box when we check out. So what are we so busy at here? And I'm as guilty as the rest, and I'm really struggling with that, Susan. You know, I've fallen in love with ideas. You know, I'm in love with the show Tiny Homes that's on TV because
mm-hmm.
I just love the idea of going off the grid and becoming completely self-sustainable and therefore not dependent on the system to eat and to breathe and to live. Right? Because a lot of us are dependent on the system. The capitalistic 9-to-5 go to work system is how we eat, live and breathe. And how would we survive
right.
outside of that system?
Well, no, great question. I love tiny houses. I know what you're talking about. I look at it and I'm like, oh, I would love to. It's a community feeling and it's, you know, less is more. And it's like,
well,
I
feel the idea that the way we're currently living isn't sustainable for humans or the planet. And we have to come up, you know, we have to start doing something else. And I can't leave it for my son to figure it out. I want
to
figure it out.
No, I feel it's depend on your fellow Earthmate. I feel like we're all in this together. Find your tribe. Find the one or two or three or your family, if you're lucky, you know, if your origin of birth, family, whatever it is. Sometimes we find this outside of ourselves, or we find it, you know, when we're 50 or 40, whatever it is. But you eventually find your tribe or your flock. And I think young people, it's like if you can find this or look at it as, oh my gosh, this is not my enemy. We're literally all in this together. We actually have a caller. Want to take a caller right now?
We have somebody
on the line because this is what we do. I'm going to open up the line. The last numbers are 941. And hello, caller. Are you here?
Hey, ladies. How's it going? Yes, I am.
Hi. So your digits are 941. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Great. Can we help you with anything? Do you have something to share or a question?
Yeah, I have a question, actually, in regards to your past to spirit. I just wondered... I didn't listen to the last, you know, 50, half hour of the show, but in regards to opening up the spirit, did you have to face some, like, mirrors that you didn't have to face before? And you don't have to get personal about it, but when you overcome them, did you find more, or there was more freedom for yourself?
Well, for me, particularly, I'm Susan, and I, as a young girl, I instinctively or intuitively knew what was for me and what was not, and I was able to let it go. I was the youngest of four girls, and I did not, I asked my mother, you know, when I was 5 years old, I said, can I stop going to school? It didn't resonate with me. I wasn't there. I wasn't present. And she looked at me in the eye, and she goes, yes. But the others went. That was their path. And I understood that. It wasn't mine, but it was okay. And it was like, namaste. You know, it was a good thing. So, you know, Paula, I don't know how you can answer this.
So what I heard you ask was, getting connected to spirit, did I have to face mirrors, meaning did I have to face things about myself and overcome that? Was that your question?
Yes, or just, well, not overcome some of them, because, you know, some of them take a long time, but I just wondered if that, was it actually,
you know,
more freedom for you?
You know, here's the weirdest thing. This is the weirdest thing. I did not get connected to spirit because of all the things that I was afraid of. all of the things I was afraid of. And some of those things were facing myself in the mirror. But the truth of it is, when I got connected to spirit, all of those things were less fearful, even facing myself. You know, I would hear all that blah, blah, blah about Jesus loving you in church, and I never felt it. It never resonated with me until I was connected with spirit myself. And then I swear to God, I felt that love. Me, the flawed, quirky, imperfect, difficult, stubborn, egotistical, vengeful, judgmental, critical human being that I was, I did feel that love. Now, I had heard people talk about that, too, and never believed it. I would roll my eyes when I would hear that stuff come out of people's mouths. But I'm telling you, the more I get connected to spirit, the easier it is for me to face my flaws and forgive myself, because it is hard here. We are confused here. We are tricked here. We are tempted here. You know, we don't blame people who have – if someone was drugged, if someone was under some kind of wacky influence and couldn't see things properly, we wouldn't blame them for their behavior. We would still love them and try to help them. And that's what I feel spirit is. That's what I feel Jesus is. He forgives all because he knows how crazy it is here. And he's always just trying to give us you know, and I'm not trying to sound evangelistic here. What I'm saying is the path to getting connected to spirit does really fill you up with the light. You know, there's no words. This is the quirky thing about it. I even hate the sound of myself right now. I sound like I'm standing on a pulpit, and it's very hard to explain until you start going through the process. But the thing I wanted to say is, you know all that weird stuff that we think psychic and mediums and empaths do? That is connected to spirit. That is exactly the way spirit will communicate with us in this world, and through signs, and through messengers, through other people, all kinds of things. But that is also part of spirit. So if you shun it, if you say no to it, then you can't get connected to it. But I will not lead you astray when I say whatever fears you have today will be less. I sound like a corny Hallmark, you know, that it will help you. It'll make your burdens easier. Nothing will seem impossible. You will forgive yourself, and you will feel loved, finally.
Does that make sense? What is your name? I didn't get your name.
It's Jay calling from Canada.
Okay.
Hi, Jay. I live in Canada.
Welcome. Cool. Thank you for calling. Do you have any feedback?
And Jay,
feedback
if you want
or
to connect with me or with Susan, she's Susan T. Mullen. And, Susan, you go ahead and give me your information.
Okay. I'm Susan T. Mullen. .com, and my Facebook is Susan Mullen Intuitive Living, and Paula Hillick here is her movement is thinkcareshare.com,
and you can reach me at Facebook at thinkcareshare or at info at thinkcareshare. So info at thinkcareshare. You can reach me by email, and if you have any other questions, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it, Jay, because I'm telling you, you know what, It's pretty amazing when you finally allow yourself to go down the path and just put one foot in front of the other. It all gets so much easier. And it's not about being perfect and, you know, walking around chanting and wearing beads. You know, you're still going to be, you know, dealing in this world and just managing yourself. But you just want to sort of get on your path. Anyway, we're getting down to the last
connect
minute.
With us. We want to say goodbye. We want to just kind of wrap it up and say thank you, everyone. Thank you for calling. Connect with us. And so, Paula, do you have parting words?
Yeah, you know, I want to just keep sharing and asking people to connect. And I often end with a quote from Oprah, which says, you know, sharing stories across the world connects us. And I just want to say keep connecting, keep sharing, keep trying. Because, you know, connecting people, sharing stories, change lives.
It does. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. This is, it's powerful. I feel like this conversation is going to take us into another show. And just, you know, check in with us next week on Think, Care, Share on Facebook, Susan Mullen Intuitive Living on Facebook, and we will have next week's show ready to go, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. So,
bye.
Thank you, everyone. The phone here.